بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد today we begin another topic inshallah ta'ala and this is the statement of Imam al-Tahawi رحمه الله والحوض الذي أكرمه الله تعالى به غياثاً لأمته حق. This translates as, what this means is, والحوض here meaning the pool or the drinking pool. والحوض الذي أكرمه الله تعالى به. The drinking pool by which Allah honored and ennobled him, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. غياثاً لأمته. غياثاً meaning as a means of nourishment and solace and satisfaction for his ummah. So about this he says it is حقٌ that it is true and real. It is true and real. So this is a short sentence. And with this At-Tahawi introduces an issue, another issue to do with the belief in the unseen. So the previous issue we looked at, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, again was from the affairs of the unseen. And this matter too is from the affairs of the unseen. And At-Tahawi has mentioned the both here together, along with intercession, the intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah, which is the issue he discusses next, which will be our next topic, inshallah ta'ala. But regarding this subject, we'll first of all take some brief comments from Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. Then we'll elaborate, inshallah ta'ala, from the commentary of Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh. So Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he says that this issue is from the generality of the issues that we believe in, that Ahlul Sunnah believe in. And we have a general principle, which is that anything about which there are authentic narrations, so anything for which we find there are authentic narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, regarding, for example, the days, the affairs of the unseen, such as what happens on Yawm al-Qiyamah, then, or what will happen on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, then we believe in them. And from those affairs is this issue of Al-Hawd. 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 So the Prophet ﷺ, he told us in many ahadith that he has a Hawd. A Hawd on the Day of Judgment. This is when all the people in the Mahshar, when everyone will be gathered together, and his followers, the followers of the Prophet, will pass by, those who believed in him and those who made ittiba of him. They will pass by this pool and they will drink from this pool. And anyone who drinks from this pool with just a single sip, with just a single drink, then he will never ever feel thirsty thereafter again. And on the Day of Judgment, it will be a very severe, difficult day, and it will be extremely hot. And so what will happen is that the people will feel extreme thirst. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this hawd as ghiyathan. This is how At-Tahawi described it, as a ghiyath. Meaning, ghiyath means something by which Allah gives nourishment and satisfaction, and by which he quenches their thirst. And ghiyath is just a word used to refer to the rain that comes from the sky. So in the same way, we refer to that as ghiyath. And in the same way, this pool is a ghiyath for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that rain that we see in the life of this world is something that is referred to as ghiyath, because it comes, it enters into the earth, it gives life to the earth. And so in a similar way, this drinking pool is ghiyath for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that it will remove their thirst and quench their thirst whilst they are severely in need for it in that very difficult situation. And this hawd, it literally means it is a gathering place of water. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described it with numerous descriptions from them, that it is huge, that its width and its breadth, its width and its length is as a distance of a month's journey, and its vessels, drinking vessels, are like the number of the stars in the sky, and the one who drinks from it a single sip, he will never feel thirsty thereafter again, and that its water is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. So these are some of the authentic narrations which have come. Also about this, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also mentioned that there will be a people who will come, but they will be repelled and prevented from drinking from this pool. And the Messenger alayhi wasallam will say, "O my Lord, my nation, ummati, ummati." So Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, will say, "Innaka la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak," that indeed you do not know what they introduced after you. So then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam will say, "Suhuqan wa bu'dan liman baddala wa ghayyara," that far away, be removed, anyone who altered and who changed, meaning who altered the religion and who changed the religion after him. And so this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari. So from this we gather that the people of innovation, the people of bid'ah, that they will be prevented, those who are upon misguided innovations and who oppose the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those people who disbelieved and apostatized, those who fled on their heels and left the religion, who abandoned the sunnah, and those who went to their opinions and their views and the various schools of thought which occurred afterwards, deviant schools of thought, these are the people who will be prevented from the hold of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they changed the guidance of the Prophet, they altered it, and so this shows that the only people who will drink from this pool are the people who follow the sunnah, those who follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in speech, qawlan wa amalan, in their action, and likewise i'tiqadan, in their belief. And so they are the ones who will truly benefit from the drinking pool. And so some of the scholars are of the opinion that the ayah in Surah Al-Kawthar, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar," indeed we have given you the kawthar, some of the scholars are of the view that this is referring to the hawd. Now, this is one of the views. Some of the other views are that the kawthar is actually a river in paradise, which appears to be the most correct view, that al-kawthar is a river in paradise, and from it comes the water that is provided into the pool from which the ummah will drink from, those who will be allowed to drink from it. And some others believe that when Allah says, "Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar," it means, al-kawthar means that we have given you a great deal of good. Indeed, we have given you a great deal of good. So in any case, what the Shaykh is saying, that even if we understand al-kawthar to mean the pool, then the pool, with that meaning, would come under the other meaning of al-kawthar, which is that we have given you a great deal of good, because the pool obviously is from goodness. So this would enter it into the interpretation of the ayah upon the second more general meaning as well. So anyway, this is what the Shaykh says. It is obligatory to believe in the hawd, and also from this we gather that it is obligatory for a person to stick to the sunnah. To stick to the sunnah. So this is one of the fruits and the benefits of our belief in the hawd, in that a person understands that no one will drink from it except that he is a person of the sunnah. That he, in his belief, in his speech, in his action, he is holding fast to the sunnah. And so this is also an encouragement to stick to the sunnah, no matter what, up until he passes by the hawd, and so that he's not repelled from it. And so this is a brief statement of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, and then we'll, inshallah, elaborate in a bit more detail from the statements, or from the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Sheikh. And so the Sheikh begins by saying that the hawd that At-Tahawi is mentioning here, that it is haq, that it is haq meaning true and real, it means that exactly as the Messenger informed us about it, that is exactly how it is. Right? Upon the dhahir, upon the apparentness of what we have been told. Right? So we believe it as true and real upon the details, upon the apparent details that have come regarding it. And so nothing from it can be denied, nothing from it can be given a figurative interpretation or explained away as meaning this or meaning that. Rather, we accept it upon its zahir, upon its apparentness, and whatever the evidence indicates, then we believe in that, and we believe in it exactly as it came. And so the issue of the hawd, of the drinking pool, is again from one of those important issues of belief which is discussed by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the reason why they discuss this issue, there are a number of reasons. First of all, because the belief in the hawd is amrun ghaybi. It is a matter of the unseen. And the affairs of the unseen are such that we have to affirm our belief in them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about that. And Allah praised those who believe in the unseen. Right in the beginning of the Quran, Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book in which there is no doubt, guidance for the muttaqeen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So the first description given to those people who are the muttaqeen, the first description mentioned in the Quran is that they believe in the unseen. And so the hawd enters into the unseen. So this is one of the most prominent characteristics of the muttaqeen, that they believe in the unseen, and Allah mentioned this as the first characteristic. And so therefore, no doubt, the hawd enters into that. So therefore, it becomes a matter of belief that is discussed by Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the second issue is that the al-hawd has been indicated in the Quran and the Sunnah by an evidence which is mutawatir, meaning that it is narrated by so many people, and in fact it is mutawatir in terms of the wording, and it is mutawatir in terms of the actual meaning as well, because there are two types of tawatur. By tawatur we mean that something is narrated by so many people and passed on to so many other people that it is impossible for them to all have gathered together to conspire upon a lie. And so it's been narrated by, as the Sheikh says, more than 50 companions. And some say even more, some say even 80 companions. Some of the scholars say even 80 companions. But in any case, the hawd is reported in wording and also in meaning through tawatur, through large-scale successive transmission. And the third angle, and the third aspect from which this is an important issue discussed by Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that the hawd was denied or opposed. The understanding of it was either denied outright or opposed in the understanding of it by certain groups. And from those groups are the Khawarij and the Rafida, and likewise the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila, they denied it outright. And as for the Rawafid and the Khawarij, then they simply, they understood the ahadith of the hawd in a way different to how Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah understand them. So they oppose Ahlul Sunnah in that particular understanding. So from these three angles, we see that the hawd is an important issue of belief, and it is connected to the affairs of the unseen. And so therefore we need to have the correct belief regarding it, and the correct issues and the correct descriptions about it, and also to oppose the innovators who deny this aspect of belief. And so At-Tahawi, he says, وَالْحَوْضُ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ غِيَاثًا لِأُمَّتِهِ حَقٌّ. As we said, that the hawd, the drinking pool, which Allah ennobled him, meaning the messenger, with, as غِيَاث for his ummah, then all of this is true and real. So, first thing that we understand is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been honored by this particular hawd. This does not mean, just because the Prophet has been honored by this particular hawd, that there is not other drinking pools, because there are other drinking pools for the other prophets and messengers. As the Messenger said in another hadith, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوْضًا. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوْضًا. That indeed, for every prophet, there is a hawd, there is a drinking pool. So, and when we understand this, this will help us to understand some of the narrations that we'll mention later on about people who will be repelled from the Houd, because there are two or three understandings as to what and who that is referring to. So, but this point here, that there are other prophets who also have Houds, that they also have the drinking pools, then this is an indication, or it is something that will allow us to understand those other narrations, inshallah ta'ala, in a short while. So, anyway, the Houd is a means of honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the fact that the Prophet has been honored by this Houd means that his ummah has been honored. So really, the Houd represents an honoring of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there are some unique and specific characteristics for this Houd. And so the issue here next is that this Houd will be provided when on the Day of Judgment, and it will be at a time when the people will be standing on the plains of Day of Judgment, and this will be before the Sirat. This is before the passing over the bridge, and this is before passing over the fire, and it's before all of that. And so we see that when the affair becomes really, really difficult upon the people, very hard, they are standing, they are waiting for the judgment to begin, and this is a day whose length is 50,000 years. This is a day whose length is 50,000 years. And so this is referring to the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'arij, the angels ascend to him and the ruh in a day whose measure is 50,000 years. The scholars explain that is referring to the day of judgment. That day will be 50,000 years long from our reckoning. And so given all of these factors, the time will be very severe upon the people, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with the Houd, and so therefore this also is an honoring of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So whoever drinks from it, as we mentioned earlier, whoever drinks from it a single sip, then he will not feel thirsty thereafter again. So this is just a brief introduction then to what At-Tahawi says. So now we come to the masail. There are some issues now. There are some masail that connect to this that we need to understand. And the first of them is the issue of proof. Proof and evidence. The evidence for belief in the Houd. Belief in the drinking pool of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we said, then the evidence is categorical, undeniable, and it has come through tawatur. It is large-scale successive transmission. This is how we have come to know of the belief in the Houd. The Muslims have successively transmitted it. It is mentioned in the Quran. It is mentioned in the Sunnah by, as we said, at least 50 companions. And so as for the Quran, the evidence is Surah Al-Kawthar. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. In the first ayah, indeed we have given you the Kawthar. And in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, it is established that Al-Kawthar is explained as being the Houd which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. And there are also other explanations which explain that the Kawthar is a river in paradise. It is a river in paradise, and from this river in paradise there are some streams, or there are some, two streams by which the Kawthar, by which the Houd is actually filled. Now this is where the water originates from. So this is proof from the Quran, and as for proof from the Sunnah, then there are many, many, many hadith and that mention the presence of the Houd and its characteristics. As we said, more than 50 companions have narrated it. It is mutawatir naqlan, in terms of the actual wording, and it is mutawatir ma'anawiyan, in terms of the meaning. So it combines both types of tawatur together. And we see that the greatest of the companions have narrated these ahadith. From them is the Abu Bakr, the four khulafa, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, radiyallahu anhum, jami'an. And likewise from the fuqaha, from the great scholars of the Sahaba, like Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas and Abdullah bin Umar and Abu Dharr and others. So we see that the greatest and the loftiest of the companions have narrated these narrations about the Hawd. And also we see that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to repeat speech about the Hawd again and again to the same people. Because we see some of the narrators, such as what Abu Dawood brings in his Sunan, he mentions a narration from one of the Sahaba, and that Sahabi narrates and he says, Samitu miraran, that I heard many times, la aqulu marratan aw marratain, I do not say once or twice, but I say many times I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he mentioned the hadith of the Hawd. So the Hawd is something that the Messenger used to repeat again and again and again to the same companions and to the groups of companions. And so that therefore this is why we see it has come in such a large scale overwhelming transmission to us. This is the first point of evidence. The second point is the characteristics of this pool. First of all, the first, in terms of what is authentic, that is from the Sunnah. So first of all, this pool is squared in shape. So this pool is squared in shape. It is a square. And its length and its breadth, obviously, is the same. It is equal. And the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that its length is the distance, or is the a journey's month equivalent, and its breadth is a journey's month equivalent, and its corners are equal. So he mentioned corners, that its edges or corners are equal. This indicates that it is a square. From the descriptions, it is a square. And so we see that as for the length and breadth of the Hawd, we see there are many narrations which have come. Some of them give varying levels of detail. Some of them, they say that its length and breadth is equal to what is between Medina and Baytul Maqdis. Medina and Baytul Maqdis. Or that which was between Medina and between Amman. Oman or Amman. Or between Medina and between, you know, to Sana'a. So we see that there are different narrations which have come, all of which indicate, you know, which we can say that basically come under the general description of a month's journey. Of a month's journey. And so the Shaykh says that when we mention the distance of a month's journey, it is referring to journey by way of a camel. By way of a camel. Because this is what is known, habitually known, that this is what the journey involves. So therefore we know its length, we know its breadth, we know its shape, we know it's a square. And this is the first issue. The second issue now is its place. What is its place? And the answer to that question is that it will be upon the altered earth, because we know that this earth will be altered. So when the Yawm al-Qiyamah is established, then the earth will be altered. It will change to another form. And that form, that is when the people, this will be the plains of the Day of Judgment, meaning the open plain of the Day of Judgment, where the people will be gathered. And so this is where it will be. And in the Quran, in Surah Ibrahim, right at the very end, Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ, the day on which the earth will be changed into another earth and heavens. But this is in reference to يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, that the change that will take place. And so this is where it will be. And as for its drinking vessels, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that its drinking vessels are like the stars in the sky. Are like the stars in the sky. This comparison which is made between these drinking vessels of the Hawd and the stars, this is explained by the scholars to be in reference to two ways. There are two ways as to how and why this, as to how we understand this. The first one is that it refers to numerousness, that there are many drinking vessels, because in the sky there are many, many, many stars. So there are a large number of drinking vessels for this Hawd, which the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will drink from. This is the first aspect. And this also indicates that the people will be at ease. There will not be any rush or there will not be any, you know, congestion or things like that that you see to rush to try and, you know, to drink from the pool, because there will be a large number of drinking vessels. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the drinking vessels are compared to the stars in terms of their, that they will be glittering or have light, because the stars glitter. So these drinking vessels, they will have you know, like a luminosity. They will be bright. They will illuminate, and they will be, this is just like we see the stars in the sky. So as for the water, then, its water is severely and intensely white, more white and intense than milk. This is established in the hadith that we mentioned before, حوضي طوله شهر, that my pool, its length is a month, and its breadth is a month, and its water is أشد بيادا, more severely intensely white than milk, وأحلى من العسل, and sweeter than honey. And in another narration we see that that its water is more intensely white than al-warq, and he mentioned here silver. He compared it to being even more intensely white than even silver. And as for its fragrance, then he said in another hadith, its fragrance, ra'ihatahu qara'ihatil misk, that its fragrance is like the fragrance of musk. And as for the origin and the source of this water, then as we said before, it is established in some narrations that Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise, and that this is the source of the Hawd, the water in the Hawd. As the messenger says, Al-Kawthar nahrun a'ataniyahu Allahu fil jannah. Al-Kawthar is a river that Allah has given me in paradise. And so these are some of the descriptions then, the place where it will be, the number of its drinking vessels, the nature of these drinking vessels, the water, how it's been described, and what the origin and the source of this water is. So that is the second issue, the descriptions of the Hawd. The third issue is a discussion of when is the Hawd. Is the Hawd, is it before the Sirat, the passing over the bridge over hellfire, or is it after the Sirat? There are two views. There are some scholars who hold the view that it is before the Sirat. It is definitely before the Sirat, before the bridge over hellfire, because the hadith, all of the evidences that we see, they clearly establish that some people will be repelled and taken away from the Hawd and thrown into the hellfire, and the fire will take them. And so the context of the way that the narrations have come and have been mentioned, they strongly indicate that this is before the passing over the bridge, before the believers pass over the bridge over the hellfire. And there are some other scholars who say that the Hawd, actually there are two types. There is one which is before the passing over the bridge, and there is another one which is after the passing over the bridge. And as for the one which is after the passing over the bridge, that is for anyone who did not drink from the first one and who was punished in the fire. Then he was taken out of the fire, and then he came out, and then he drank from the second pool. However, this is not really a view that is backed up, and you know, by the evidences. The evidences really support the first view, which is that the Hawd is before the believers pass over the Sirat. Then, once we've established this, even these scholars who say that the Hawd, who are established upon the view that the Hawd is before the Sirat, then they have two views as well. Because there is another issue, which is the Hawd before the weighing, the Mizan, or is it after the Mizan? So we see that the scholars, they themselves differ on these two issues. So the that which is most correct is that it is before the Mizan. It is before the weighing of the deeds and the weighing of the scrolls. And it is, as we said, it is basically when the people are waiting on the plains of the Day of Judgment, and they are standing and they are waiting. They've obviously been resurrected, and they've come to the gathering place, the Mahshar, and they are waiting. And so this is when where the Hawd will actually take place. And as we said, the people will be standing for a long, long time. It will be very, very severely hot. And so then they will, this hod is a way of honoring them. And so we mentioned these details before as well. As for the fourth issue, which is the people who will be repelled from the hod. How do we understand these narrations? As we see in many narrations that have come, that a people will come. A people will come and they will be repelled. They will be repelled from the hold. And the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will recognize them. He will recognize them. And he will say, O my Lord, Usayhabi, Usayhabi. O my Lord, my companions, my companions. And to the end of the hadith. So, from this, how do we understand these narrations? How do we explain these narrations? And so, there are a number of points about this. First of all, we understand that there are two repellings. There are two types of being repelled away from the hod. Now, if you remember, at the beginning, towards the beginning of the lesson, we mentioned the narration, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوْدٌ. Indeed, to every prophet there is a hawd. So, and we said that this will help us to understand another point later on. So what this means is that there is one type of repelling, which is what we call the aam, it is general. And this means that the messenger himself, he will repel certain people from his pool. And he will repel them. And this is because the reason for this is because that the drinking pool of the Prophet ﷺ is only for his ummah. And so he will repel those people who are not from this ummah and tell them to go to their own pool, to the pool of their respective prophet. And this is an indication that the Messenger ﷺ is Ra'uf and Rahim to his ummah, that he's kind, compassionate to his ummah, in the sense that he is giving additional concern to his ummah over and above. You know, he's just simply directing the people of other nations to the pool of their respective prophet. And in this, there is, first of all, an honoring, and there is a compassion and a mercy to this ummah. And likewise, it is also because every other prophet had his followers, then it is more befitting and worthy that his followers drink from that prophet's pool, right? To indicate his followers and to, you know, so this is from the second, second angle. The third, or the next issue is that what is the second type of repelling? So we said the first one, which was aam. It is aam. And the aam, it has two benefits. Number one, The people drinking from this pool, it shows the Prophet's compassion and mercy towards them. And secondly, that the Prophet is directing the people who followed other prophets to their respective prophet's pool as a means of, you know, that it's the due right that they drink from that particular prophet's pool and to support and strengthen that particular prophet and to show his followers. And as a means of contrasting them with those who denied and rejected, you know, that particular prophet. And as for the second type of repulsion, then it is what we call the that which is khas, that which is specific. And so this is the issue that we need to understand then, which is that there are groups of people who will come and the messenger will recognize them. As we said in the narrations, it does say that the messenger will recognize them and they will recognize him, and then they will be repelled away from the hod. And then the messenger will say, Ya Rabbi, Qawmi, Qawmi, O my Lord, my people. And in another narration, Ashabi, Ashabi, my companions. And in another narration, Usayhabi, Usayhabi, which is a diminutive, means like referring to like a small number of people. And so then it will be announced, Innaka la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. Indeed, you do not know what they introduced after you. And in another narration, Innahum lam yazalu murtaddina ala adbarihim mudtaraktahum, that indeed they have never ceased to become apostates after you upon their heels after you left them. So this now raises a question, who are these people, and how have the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, how have they understood these narrations, and what is this in reference to? So basically there are three explanations to these narrations, and the scholars themselves have given different explanations to them. And so the first of those explanations is that those who are repelled from the Hawd are those who became apostates from those amongst the Sahaba. Those who are from the Sahaba. Like, for example, those who followed Musaylama al-Kadhab. Musaylama, the false prophet, al-Kadhab. And who just became apostates and they disbelieved after that. But they are very, very, very few in number. They are very few in number. And the proof that this is only referring to a very small number of people is in the way that the narration has come, because the narration says that then there will come fayatini qawmun, then there will come to me a group, right? So this indicates that this is a small number of people compared to the whole nation, right? So it's the way that the narration has come that it indicates that it's a small group of people and they will be repelled away from the Hawd. And likewise, the fact that the messenger said, Ya Rabbi, Usayhabi, that he used the diminutive form, my companions. And so the scholars say that these two words, Qawmun, Usayhabi, that this indicates that their number is very, very small. And this fits in with the facts, because those who became apostates after the Prophet ﷺ were very, very small in number. These were the ones who, they made Hajj with him, with the farewell pilgrimage, and they were some of the rabble from the desert Bedouins, and they never truly believed with the true iman, and they were just very, very small in number. And then when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam he passed away, this small number of people, they became apostates. And this is one understanding of this particular hadith, that it is referring to those people who never truly believed in the first place anyway. They never had the true iman. The second understanding is that those who are repelled from the Hawd are the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not know all of the munafiqin. He knew some of them, but he did not know all of them. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكُمْ وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ فَلَعَرَفْتَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. That if we had willed, we would have showed them to you, and you would have known them by their signs, by their marks. And indeed you know them through their soft speech, the soft speech that they bring. So some people will come from these hypocrites. And they were people who apparently had iman, and they were apparently with the believers, yet they were, and the messenger will think that, yes, these were with the believers, but obviously Allah knows them to be from the hypocrites. So when they come to the drinking pool, they will be repelled and taken away. And then the messenger will say, oh my Lord, my companions. And so this then we understand that this is then referring to the hypocrites. And, in the narrations we see that they never ceased. In the narration we see that it says they never ceased to turn on their backs and become apostates after you. Right? So this is clearly in reference to the hypocrites. That's the second understanding with some of the scholars. The third understanding is that those who are repelled from the Hawd are those who brought something into the religion after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either by apostatizing from the religion, or by bringing something which is less than that, meaning bringing an innovation which does not reach the level of kufr, such as the various innovations that we see of the Khawarij, innovations of the Mu'tazila, and the other types of innovations which came. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to these people then in one narration, as we see, innaka la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak, indeed you do not know what they introduced after you. Right, so here now we gather that this is referring to the innovators who brought the major innovations, and whoever followed and fell into that. So these three explanations are the most apparent and well-known statements, because, or in fact, the third statement actually is something that comprises the previous two statements as well. Because the third statement is with respect to those who introduce something into the deen. So some of them, it incorporates apostasy, right? Those who became apostates. It incorporates, likewise, those who were hypocrites, who brought hypocrisy and manifested hypocrisy. And it incorporates those who brought innovations into Islam and, you know, followed innovations and took those paths. Like we said, the Mu'tazila and the Rafida and other than them, the Khawarij, the Murji and other than them. And so, from this, the scholars also add to this anyone who lied upon the religion. Anyone who lies upon the religion, he is included amongst this category of people who will be repelled from the, from the Hawd. And there's a narration in this regard that was mentioned by Imam Ahmad in the Musnad, and with numerous wordings which are similar, in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be after me leaders, سَيَكُونُ بَعْدِ أُمُرَىٰ. So whoever believed in them, فَمَنْ صَدَّقَهُمْ, whoever believed them in their lies and aided them in their oppression, then he is not from me and I am not from him, and he will not pass by my Hawd. He will not pass by the Hawd. So this shows that anyone who lies and enters lies into the religion or follows lies in the religion, that he will not be, again, he will not be allowed to pass over the bridge. And so this clearly is also incorporates those who fabricate a hadith and spread lies against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who push those lies from a position of authority, like we have many rulers, you know, who spread lies about the religion. Like, for example, this could incorporate those, for example, who pushed the saying of the Quran being created upon the Ummah, and anyone who imposed something of a belief or something that is a lie against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this would incorporate other people who follow lies in Allah's religion. So we can conclude our lesson here upon that note, inshallah ta'ala, so that we clearly understand that when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that there are people who will be repelled from the Hawd, we clearly understand who they are. There are three explanations which fit with the text. First of them are those who are the very few number of companions who didn't really have the true iman, who, you know, apparently were from the companions, and they apostatized after, you know, the Messenger. They followed Musaylimah al-Kadhab, and, you know, so on and so forth. But they are very, very few in number. Secondly, it's referring to the Munafiqun. And thirdly, it's referring to the Ahlul Bid'ah, those who introduced affairs into the religion. And this is important to understand, because these ahadith are one of the main ahadith used by the Rafida, the Shia Rafida, in order to revile and attack the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they use it as a proof to show that all of the companions became apostates. And this is incorrect, because as we see that the context of the way of the words which are used in these narrations, we see that the Messenger is only speaking of a small group of people, a small number of people. And as we said, it is either referring to those very small handful of people who became apostates, or it is referring to the Munafiqun, because the Messenger did know some of the Munafiqun, but he did not know that others were from the Munafiqun. So he will say, my companions, thinking of some of them, that they were from his companions and they were believers, when Allah knows best that they were not from the believers. Or it is in relation to Ahlul Bid'ah, those who introduced innovations into religion, and those who tell lies about the religion and follow lies about the religion. So we should be clear about that. And so there are some other issues as well, inshallah ta'ala, about the doubts and the shubuhat of the Rafida and the Khawarij. And so inshallah we will deal with them in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala, when we conclude the discussion of the Hawd, and inshallah ta'ala make a start into the topic of intercession as well. Okay, just a question, that this standing of the 50,000 years, is this something that will be experienced by the pious, or is it a punishment for the kuffar and sinful Muslims only. There are narrations which have come from Ibn Abbas and other than them, which explain that the 50,000, that the reckoning that will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah will not be except as if it were like an hour. It will seem very, very quick for the believer. So there are narrations which indicate that the standing of 50,000 years, that for the believer it will be lightened, that they will not experience the actual, you know, as if it is actually 50,000, even though it is 50,000 years. And that will be felt by the kuffar and other than them. But the standing that we are mentioning, that the long, long, long standing, that Allah knows best how long that will be, we don't know. But that initial long standing where the believers are waiting, and this is on the plains of judgment, this is on the mahshar, when everybody's been raised and brought together upon the plains, and then they are waiting. It is severely hot, intense, and they are waiting and waiting and waiting. So we do not know how long that period is. Allah knows best. But will the believers experience 50,000 years as we experience it in this life? And as we said, there are narrations which indicate that things will be hastened for a believer. So no, the answer is no. They will not experience the actual, you know, 50,000 years as they are, because there are narrations which indicate otherwise, that things will be facilitated for the believers. What is the proof for the Hawd being before the Mizan? This is an issue that when we look into the explanation of some of the scholars, this is explained by Sheikh Salih Sahimi and some of the other, Abdul Razak al-Abbad and others in one of their books on the Kitab Usul al-Iman, that they say that basically this issue of whether the Hawd comes first or the Mizan comes first, then the conclusion which is most correct, and which the scholars hold to be most correct, is based upon the fact that the context, when we look at the overall context of all of the ahadith which mention the Hawd and which mention the repulsion of the people away from the Hawd and some of the other issues connected to that, it is the context which allows us to hold the opinion and the view that it is stronger to believe it is before the Mizan than it is after the Mizan. Because there are details in those narrations, such as, for example, people being repelled away from the Hawd and, you know, not allowed to drink from the Hawd and being going, you know, and some of them being taken to the hellfire, that all of this is something which indicates that it occurs before the Mizan and before the spreading of the scrolls and before the weighing of the deeds. That's what those scholars explain. But as for like any specific text, there isn't any specific text which says that the Hawd is before the Mizan, and for that reason that's why the scholars have obviously differed as to which is first, is it the Mizan or the Hawd. There are two views, but that which is most correct is that when we analyze all of the narrations together, in the view of the scholars who hold that view, they say that it indicates that it looks like the Hawd is something that will come first before the weighing of the deeds, because the people are waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to arrive. And then when the judgment will take place, the scales will be established and the scrolls will be brought, and then they will be weighed. So this indicates that the judgment and the weighing and so on and so forth is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arrives. And as for the Hawd is when the people are waiting and waiting and waiting and they are thirsty. And so then out of honoring of this ummah, the people will pass by the Hawd of the Prophet, and likewise the other previous nations, they will pass by the Hawds of their Prophet, and then they will drink. So when we look at all of these facts together, then the facts indicate and suggest that the Hawd is something which comes before the Mizan, and is something which comes before the Sirat. And so this is how the scholars explain this particular issue. Inshallah ta'ala, if we have no more questions, we'll conclude the lesson there, inshallah, and we'll continue next week, inshallah ta'ala, to conclude the remaining points, and then we'll make a start on the topic of intercession, which again is another great and mighty important subject. So we will deal with that next week, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.